this morning. We're going to read from Isaiah 55, verse 11. It's only right that a man whose son-in-law is 35 would need his reading glasses at the pulpit. Amen. Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I want to speak this morning on the thought, responding to the word. Amen. Anyone here want to respond to the word this morning? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for a word that never dies. Thank you, God, for a word that is all-powerful. Pray, God, manifest your word here this morning, not only in our hearing, but in our hearts and in our minds. Release your virtue, release your authority in this place by your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Seems to be an overriding theme so far this morning is age. This is a test for when you were born. I had to ask for help on this because I couldn't remember it. But there's an old saying that goes like this. And I want you to finish this thought when I start it. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Amen. All right, now, how many of you had no idea what that was about? Lift up your hand. Okay. That was a television commercial last century. And the funny thing is that I couldn't remember who it was that was supposed to have done the talking. And as a matter of fact, E.F. Hutton at some point was bought out by another, it was acquired by another company. It became Shearson, Lehman, and Hutton. And in 2012, it was revived as E.F. Hutton America. But this commercial, it was ubiquitous, which means it was everywhere all the time. I get accused of using big words. So. And in those days, all you would have to do is start the sentence, start the phrase, when E.F. Hutton and anybody within hearing would finish it for you because it was so common, it was well known. But now, just a few years later, many of us have forgotten. They still exist in some form or another, E.F. Hutton, but the world isn't paying attention to them like it used to. But my Bible says that when God's word goes forth, it will not return void. Now, the thing is, it may take a long time for that word to do the thing that it has been sent to do. And that's sometimes frustrating for us, but God promises that his word will have an effect. It will not return void. The word void means exactly what we would expect, that it won't come back without cause. It won't come back empty. It won't be in vain. The Bible says that we should continue to labor because our labor is not in vain for the Lord. Every time the Word of God is ministered, it does something. If you've never heard a preacher preach before, if you've never heard the Bible read before, if this is the first time or if this is the thousandth time that you've heard this passage of Scripture read, God's Word will not return void. It will affect you. Do you ever see the parent in the grocery store trying to convince the child to behave? Some children have this sense of when they have the upper hand, and public venues are the best place for them to take advantage of that. And the parent does everything they know to get this child to behave, but this child knows that I don't have to. Mostly because they've learned over time that they have the power in this relationship, that they have the authority, and I'm not going to listen to my... Billy, come here! Billy, put that candy back! Notice, his name wasn't Johnny, so it was Billy. People use that name Johnny in vain quite a bit. The real Johnnies don't act that way. Billies do. Billy's been through this before. In the battle of wills, he has never lost an engagement. He knows from experience that mom will give in and he will get what he wants. Mom makes all kinds of threats, or dad, I just don't want to put it on the moms, as to what will happen if Billy, not Johnny, doesn't do as he is told. But Billy knows that eventually, through the power of embarrassment and spectacle, he's going to get what he wants. The parent's word will return void. It will be empty. It will be in vain. Several years ago, I found myself breaking out with these giant welts all over my body for no apparent reason. Just hives, big puffy hives, various shapes and sizes. It never happened to me before, and I didn't know what was going on. It happened over a period of time, several times, and I finally figured out that it was happening every time I ate cashews. Yeah, that's terrible, isn't it? I've eaten cashews all my life. I love cashews. Technically, a cashew is not really a nut, by the way. Just look that up if you're interested. But so it's not a nut allergy, is what I'm saying. But I love cashews. But suddenly they're giving me hives every time I eat them. I developed an allergy to cashews. Allergy is when we develop a hypersensitivity in our immune system. Some of you are very well acquainted with allergies. I think I have another one that has been bothering me this summer, but I'm not willing to find out what it is, so I'll just suffer and take the medication. Our immune system responds to typically harmless substances in the environment. I asked a friend of ours who was in medical school, how can this be? All my life I've eaten cashews, I've loved cashews, I've enjoyed cashews. I've never been aware of any allergy at all, much less to cashews. And she did her best to simplify it for my non-scientific mind. She said that some of us have a body chemistry that reacts and becomes hypersensitive to certain substances. And they're not exactly sure why. Sometimes it's genetic, they think, or sometimes it's caused by environmental interactions, but they're not sure. But I wanted to know why it was waited until I was in my 40s before this allergy showed up. For some reason, I'd become sensitive. And at first, I didn't even notice, but what she told me was that I was reacting to cashews all along. All my life, my body was reacting to cashews, but it was taking place at a cellular level, and I didn't realize it. That little by little, my body was responding, and it was attaching these markers, T cells, I think is what they are, attaching these markers to my white blood cells. And over time, every time I ate cashews, every time I was exposed to cashews, my body added a couple more markers. And eventually, it got to the point where there were so many of these markers attached that when I ate that one last cashew that broke the camel's back, I broke out in hives. Because my body said, that's enough! And it started kicking out histamines, which is what causes all those terrible responses to allergies that we experience, the itchy eyes and the runny eyes and the runny nose, and hives. With each exposure to cashews, my system added markers in an effort to resist this presence. Ta-da! Guess what? You are allergic. What does that have to do with anything? Well, for me, it turns out, eating of cashews does not return void. It will have an effect. And it always has, I just didn't know it. Just now it's more severe. My Bible says, God's word will not return void. God said, it will do what I send it to do. It's not just some of us that have a response to the word of God. Like, some of us have allergies to things that others don't. But I'm telling you, you may think that you're immune somehow to the living word of God, but I want you to know that when the word of God is present, it will have an effect. You may not be aware of it. It may be at the spiritual cell level, but somehow God is working in your heart every time the word of God is present on all of us. Hebrews 4 says that the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it reveals everything. It says there's not anything that's not naked and open before the one with whom we have to do. Amen. God's word gets down into places that we can't even discern. You may not recognize it, but the living word is working in your heart right now. And it will have an effect on all of us. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except he be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. God chose by the foolishness of preaching to disseminate the gospel. That means whenever someone is preaching the gospel, God is at work because that's his chosen method. It also means that it is your opportunity to develop faith because it's by hearing the word that your faith is developed. So maybe you're struggling today. Maybe this morning you're wondering if even God is alive. Let the word of God get in your heart and let it develop faith in your spirit. God chooses to use the spoken word to reveal his will. We sometimes think that that God's will is this video or some kind of great revelation that needs to be, all we need to do is push the right buttons and it's going to reveal itself to us. When in fact, oftentimes it's just a matter of obeying what we know to do. Have you obeyed what you have heard in the Word of God? Have you done what God has called you to do? This passage says that preaching represents and presents the gospel. But there's something that many people miss. It says that we are to obey the gospel. Paul says that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's what that word means. The good news is that Jesus Christ suffered, died, was buried, and rose from the dead. He didn't stay on the cross. He didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the dead. He conquered, the Bible says, death, hell, and the grave. And by his sacrifice, he has purchased our salvation. He paid the price for sin by the blood that he shed on Calvary. Amen. See, We do a lot of teaching here at Calvary Gospel Church. We have programs. We have activities. This is an active church. There's a lot going on here. But one thing we're going to do is preach the gospel. Because it's by the preaching of the gospel that souls are saved. That's why we're preaching this message this morning. Paul says that obedience is called for. He says when we hear, we believe. And if we believe, we obey. I believe that the rain will fall, so I put up my umbrella. I believe the snow is going to come down in the winter, so I get out my snowblower and prepare it because I believe it's going to happen. I believe that without the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing me from all unrighteousness, I'm going to die lost. So I get baptized in Jesus' name to have my sins washed away. I believe I can't live a holy life without the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. So I find a place to pray and repent for my sin and ask God to fill me with His Holy Spirit so that I can live victoriously. If we believe the Word of God, we're going to obey. It's the proper response to God's Word. It's like eating the cashew and actually enjoying it without any negative reaction, using it for its value as food. I want to have the correct and obedient response to the Word of God. I want to respond to God's Word. There is an appropriate response, and there's an inappropriate response, a resistant response. And God forbid that it should lead to rejection, like my body's allergic response to cashews. Hebrews 3:7 says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years." That word tempted there means tested. Does God really mean it? Is God really going to do what He said? Is God really going to help us? "Wherefore," verse 10, "I was grieved with that generation," God says, "and said, they do always err in their heart and have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Take heed, brethren. That's us. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Praise God. Notice these were God's people. They had been delivered from Egypt. They had seen great miracles. The parting of the Red Sea. Fire on the mountain when Moses went up to meet with God. Earthquakes and rumblings, and even they heard the voice of God. And they asked Moses to cover his face because they did not want to see God's glory. That's an inappropriate response. They resisted God. Moses went up on the mountain, and by the time he came back down, they were worshiping idols. These are God's people. That tells me that none of us is completely free from that possibility. I lived over 40 years without an allergy, but there was a resistance building up in me. Don't let that resistance build up in your heart. Don't let that resistance develop. John said, "Walk in the light as He is in the light." The Word of God, the Bible says, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If we're walking in the light, John said that we should have fellowship with one another. That's one way to tell if you're building up that resistance. Is how's your fellowship? I'm not talking about how many brats did you have this weekend. I'm talking about are you on good terms with the body of Christ? I heard one amen. Are you on good terms with the body of Christ? The Bible says if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If you're out of fellowship, that's on you. Oof, that was not easy. That's not in my notes, by the way. They hardened their heart. They resisted the word of God. Genesis 1, verses 2 and 3, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Praise God. God brings light. God brings fellowship. God brings communion. God brings wholeness. When God speaks, the world was without form and, there's that word again, void, empty, vain, pointless. I can tell you that's where my life was when the Lord found me. I had reached a point where my life was vain. It was empty. It was pointless. Praise God. But the Word of God spoke into my life and brought light. On day one, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the morning and the evening were the first days. Five more times God said, as He spoke creation into existence. He spoke it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Neither was there anything made that was not made by that Word. The Word of God is powerful. Praise God. It's the same Word that is manifest when we preach. That's the same Word that comes to our hearts when we read the Bible. It's the same creative process at work. God can change your world, can change your life, can change your heart, can change your mind. Just by speaking to us. The Word of God created the universe. When God speaks, creation listens. He's the ultimate authority in the universe. Some people question that. They wonder if there's another God. No, God says, I alone am God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There is no other God. He's the ultimate. And His Word has the authority to change creation. The only element of creation that does not respond obediently to the Word of God is humanity. Because He's given us a free will. He's given us a choice. Every one of us, though the Word of God will affect you one way or another. You can walk out of here angry. Well, he had no right to say that. Or you can let the Word of God penetrate your heart. It's our choice. We make the choice. We have a free will. Not only is the Word of God not powerless or vain or empty, but it enters into empty spaces and creates living things. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that God came into my empty, pointless life. And He gave me new life. This passage in Isaiah says that it will accomplish what it is sent. It will produce something. That's what that means. Something is going to be produced by God's Word when He speaks. It's a creative process. And if you resist it, you're developing a resistance to God Himself. And eventually it's going to have a negative effect on your well-being. God's Word is working here today. Somebody, I don't know how many somebodies, but somebody's going to respond to God's Word appropriately. Why not you? I can't tell you what wilderness you're going through. I don't know. I know what it feels like to be in the wilderness. I know what it feels like to resist the Word of God. I know what it feels like to be out of fellowship with the body of Christ. I know that feeling. But I also know that the only solution to those issues is to submit to God's Word. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, and that all should come to repentance." God's will is that we all find a place of repentance. We think sometimes that message is for those other sinners. But it says all should come to repentance. It's not God's will that any be lost. But because we have a free will, we can frustrate His will by our choice. We build up a resistance. We can receive it and believe it. And our response will be obedience, or we can resist it and reject God's word. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Brother Seidel, I know that. I've been going to church for 25 years. This is the gospel. This is the good news. We must never, 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 never forget that we're here because He paid the price for our sin. Praise God. John 1 says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God's word is the difference in our life. How will I respond to God's word? It's His word that reveals who He is. It's His word that reveals His will for everyone, but for me as an individual. It's His word that reveals the love of God for us. Isaiah says not only that God's word will produce a response, but it will prosper. It will advance, is what that means. It's going to move it forward. So maybe you've heard the gospel message 10,000 times, but every time you hear the word of God preached, if you will submit to the Holy Ghost, He's going to move forward in your life. He's going to do something positive. Something's going to happen that's going to move you forward in the will of God. Amen. Every time. God's word is going to move things. God wants to do something good in your life. God's word wants to do something good in my life. He wants to give you something today that will last until eternity. He wants to give new life, a fresh start. Musicians can come. Maybe you're tired of wandering in the wilderness. 40 years. Because that generation resisted God's word, they wandered for 40 years until that whole generation was gone. Maybe there's something in your life that you've been holding on to, and that's why you're still wandering. And the word of God is calling on you to put it down, to release it. You know that one of the primary definitions of the word forgiveness is to release something, to let go. Praise God. You know, when you're holding on really tight like this, you can't receive anything. But when you let go, your hand is open. That's when you're going to receive something from God. Maybe you're tired of wandering in the wilderness. Maybe You're tired of resisting God's will in your life. We always think, you know, that has to do with, well, I'm called to preach and I'm not going to give in. Well, that's your loss, okay, if that's the case. But that isn't the only thing that God deals with us according to His will. I mean, there's a lot of things in our life that He deals with us. Maybe a relationship that you need to change. Submit your pride. Let the love of God flow through you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand. See, there's something that happens in a place like this, in a Holy Ghost church, in a Jesus name apostolic assembly, that when the preacher preaches, the Holy Ghost is present. And God's Holy Spirit can just flow through the place, and He talks to every one of us. I said, He talks to every one of us. Now, I may not have pushed the right button for you, said the exact word you were looking for, but I know that if you're here with a hungry heart, that God's Holy Spirit has done that. He can talk to you at a level that I can't. And I trust and believe that He already has. So if you're questioning in your own mind whether or not that was the Lord talking to you about the changes that you should make, I want to let you know that it probably was. Because the Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It gets down inside our hearts. So it's time to respond to the Word. It's time to let the Holy Ghost minister to you. It's time to surrender your will to His will. Maybe you need power to overcome something in your life, in your walk with God. Maybe you just need forgiveness. If you want to come and ask God to forgive you your sins, it's called repentance. Turn your life over to Him. You want to be baptized in Jesus' name. That washes our sins away. Come on down on this side. Come and pray here. Start your new life today. Let God wash your sins away and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered. God is a healer. If you want God to touch you physically, to heal your body, come on down on this side. I believe God can do a miracle. He has done miracles. He will do miracles. And you have an opportunity this morning to receive a miracle from God Himself by the Word of God. That's according to your response. If you're struggling with something in your life, just come on forward right down here in the middle. Someone will come and pray with you. Someone will ask what you need. Be glad to reach out and touch the presence of God on your behalf alongside of you to help you pray. Praise God. What do you need this morning? I know God is talking to us. I know the Word of God is in this place. Go ahead and surrender to the will of God as He speaks to your heart. Come on and turn your heart over to God. Turn your life over to God. What is it He's trying to speak to you about? Let your spiritual ears be open. Not my will, but Thy will be done, O God. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.